This is Indiana Public Radio News. I'm Stan Sollers. Since our last Ball State update, the United States has elected a new president, and Indiana has elected a new governor. Both the White House and the State House have sent out executive orders that could affect how diversity, equity, and inclusion instruction and programs are conducted at Ball State and other public institutions across the state and nation. Joining us to give his reading of a massive amount of executive orders from Washington, D.C. and Indianapolis is Ball State President Jeff Mearns. President Mearns, welcome back.
Good morning, Stan. It's always good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Well, first off, there was a temporary pause of federal grant money that yanked the carpeting from underneath countless people and programs, this by way of a presidential executive order. Then a federal judge temporarily blocked the effort by the Trump administration to pause those federal payments of grants and other programs. Then the order was rescinded by the White House. Have any of those actions affected the university?
No. And as you said, shortly after the executive order was issued, there was a federal court in Washington, D.C. that prevented the administration from implementing that order, and then the administration rescinded it. But the administration did say at that time that the other executive orders were still in place and that those orders could have the effect of limiting or preventing federal expenditures that were inconsistent with the intent or the purpose of those orders. So there's still some lack of clarity. It's a dynamic and fluid situation, so we're monitoring it. One thing that I would say about the original order, I think it was clear from the administration that that order wouldn't affect direct payments to students, to college students, those who are receiving Pell Grants or student loans. But the original order and other orders may affect federally funded research projects. So that's why we're still continuing to monitor what's happening and to seek guidance from outside experts.
Is that where Ball State is the most vulnerable? Should the freezing of funds go back into effect or those other orders remain in effect?
Yes, that's where it would be. It might affect certain federal grants that we are presently administering, research projects that's federally funded. That's where it might affect it. And so we've begun the process of identifying those potential grants.
How does the governor's executive order effectively stopping DEI programs at all state institutions, including state universities, affect Ball State?
So we're pretty confident that the governor's order around DEI doesn't affect public universities like Ball State. As written, it appears to be directed to executive branch agencies. And that phrase is routinely interpreted not to include public universities. In various state statutes and regulations, they routinely refer to public universities specifically or as public institutions. So again, we don't think those orders affect us, but we're monitoring any further clarification to be sure that that interpretation is the accurate one.
Would you think, based upon what you know right now, that the executive order or one of the executive orders from the State House could work against at least one of Ball State's beneficence pledge points, the pledge to value the intrinsic worth of every member of the community, to respect and learn from differences in people, ideas, and opinions as expressed in the pledge?
Well, so how I would pivot, Stan, as I think about that question is really, what do our enduring values say, you know, that the pledge is a reflection of? But the way we define inclusiveness in our enduring values is to respect and embrace the diversity in people, ideas, and opinions. And that articulation, as you and I have talked about before, that articulation is consistent with recent legislation from the last session that obligates us to support both intellectual and cultural diversity. And we continue to encourage the policymakers as they look at pending legislation to allow us to continue to do that work.
There is an email that's been circulated regarding a professional development class at Ball State called LGBTQ 101. The notice says the course has been canceled at the request of the Ball State administration. First of all, is this correct?
So that are, you know, that's not quite correct. So again, want to make sure we understand it's not a class, a credit-bearing class for students. It's an educational offering for our faculty and staff. And, you know, it's these kinds of programs that are the principal focus of some of the bills that have been introduced in the current legislative session. And of course, during this session, there have been many questions about whether those bills will become law, and if they become law, when will they become effective? And if they become law, what programs might be effective? So in light of that uncertainty, the leadership in our Office of Inclusive Excellence decided, really out of an abundance of caution, to pause promoting that program until they have more clarity. So it really wasn't an administration decision, meaning mine or the provost. It was those people who administer these programs. And they haven't canceled it. They've really just paused promoting it and conducting it. It isn't even scheduled to happen until April. And by then, we hope the legislative session will have been concluded and we'll have answers to some of those questions that I just mentioned a moment ago.
And just so people understand, from what unit was the class being offered?
It was offered under the umbrella of our Office of Inclusive Excellence. And what I would add is Charlene Alexander, who serves as our Chief Strategy Officer, and the Office of Inclusive Excellence reports to her. She sent an email, a clarification email, to people who are asking the questions you just asked.
Do you have any idea specifically about the class's content?
I'm not personally familiar with the content of that, so I wouldn't be prepared to answer that question for you, Stan.
All right. Ball State's Multicultural Center houses what it calls the Lavender Door. And according to the university website, the Lavender Door is a collaborative project provided by the Multicultural Center in Housing and Residence Life that seeks to provide all Ball State students with free and discreet access to gender-affirming clothing. How do you interpret the State House noise over the Multicultural Center's Lavender Door? And could you give us some background behind that noise?
Yeah. So I think what you said a moment ago is really important. The Lavender Door is actually a part of a broader program called the Cardinal Closet. So it's really not a separate and distinct free clothing opportunity. It's under the broader umbrella of the Cardinal Closet, which is administered by Residence Life. And so, of course, our Office of Inclusive Excellence was promoting opportunities for all students to take advantage of that. So I think the marketing of it was maybe what caused the question, but the clarity is this is not preferential treatment for any particular students. This is offering a free service with donated clothing to all of our students.
Have the lawmakers in question, to the best of your ability to know this, have they been to the Multicultural Center and seen this service?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I was asked that question a week ago Tuesday, I think it was, and I didn't have all of the information, as I said at that time, that I would gather more information. And we've shared that additional information with all of the members of the House Ways and Means Committee to provide them with the same information that I just shared with you.
Because it was in the House Ways and Means Committee that you were getting grilled earlier in the week.
That's correct. That was where the question was asked.
And if you could tell us about that session a bit, was it for overall university funding or was it specific to DEI issues?
It was a focus overall on state support for public universities. And so each budget session, all of the presidents of the public institutions have an opportunity to present their information, their requests and recommendations. And after my presentation was concluded, that's when the members of the committee have an opportunity to ask questions. So that's where the questions came up.
Have you ever fielded questions before in one of these sessions about DEI?
I don't recall that, but again, the lawmakers often use the presentation about the budget to ask a variety of questions about university operations and programs. So it's not unusual that the questions might go beyond the limited scope of being about the budget, because, of course, the budget affects our operations.
And speaking of the university budget, it's been said that Governor Braun wants to see 5% cuts across the board. Are you anticipating a 5% cut to Ball State's appropriation?
No. In fact, the governor's budget provided as proposed, provided eliminated some funding for public universities around operating dollars and repair and rehabilitation. We have been working with the members of the House Ways and Means Committee and other leadership in the House to see if we can have those reductions restored in the House budget. And I am hopeful that our advocacy will ultimately be successful.
So it could be 5%, but right now that's up in the air.
No, it would not be as large as 5%. It's much less than 5%. So I believe his reference to 5% cuts he was not referring to higher education, support for higher education.
So more or less departments within the executive and other state services.
Correct, because I believe the governor's budget actually proposed an inflationary increase for funding for K-12 education. So I believe that that 5% cut was referring to state agencies, not either K-12 education or public higher education.
All right. Well, finally, today, there's a measure at the State House that would disallow student IDs to be used at voting sites for voter identification for students wanting to vote. What do you think about that? And will Ball State house a voting site at the next election like Purdue has done for some time?
So on the first question about student IDs, I believe that under current state law, students cannot use their student ID to register to vote. The question was, when they go to vote, having been properly registered, can they use that ID to confirm who they are in terms of the registration? I also believe that our student IDs really say on the back of them that they can only be used for identification purposes on our campus and not for other purposes. So I believe that proposed legislation is actually, or maybe I'd say it this way, is not inconsistent with our understanding or our practice of how our student IDs should be used. With respect to your second question, I don't know the answer to it. That next election is, I guess, probably 18, 20 months away. So we haven't crossed that bridge just yet.
And there is a voting precinct on Oakwood, just on the fringe of the north edge of campus, so it's not that far away. But some would argue that it would be easier for students to vote if it were right in the middle of campus.
Well, and First Presbyterian Church, which is where I'm registered to vote, is located even closer than Oakwood. And so it's very convenient for those of us who work or live near campus.
Pretty busy time for university presidents, I would think.
It is a busy time, but there are so many good things that are happening here on our campus and in our community that I am still optimistic about our future.
Well, could you share one with us, please?
Well, so as I said, our university is strong, not just in terms of enrollment and finances, our beautiful campus, but I continue to take great pride and gratitude in our culture, our culture of beneficence, of doing good for other people. And so we're both strong in the ways that can be measured, but I think we're even stronger in the ways that are intangible in terms of the culture that exists among our people here.
Well, President Jeff Mearns, thanks again for your time, for being with us for another Ball State Update.
You're welcome, Stan. Have a great day and a good weekend.
You as well. For IPR News, I'm Stan Sollers.